He worked with Basha Blatt and Classified and a bunch of like really great artists. And he's just like he's a monster bass player. But he also produces for Calcedon. So he produced my last EP, which was kind of like finding our groove working together. And then he's also producing, he produced this track as well.
How many people are involved with the band? Is it just a two or is it like two? Because I remember it was like Ian Coyer was one,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And but
so when I did my CD release, I had a 5-piece band,
right?
Because electronic music is really tough to perform live. Just because so much of what's going on is very like internal, and a lot of pre-recorded stuff. And so we had wanted to, for the releases, to make everything as live as possible. So we actually like completely scrapped all of our like pre-recorded stuff. And we just had like 5 people on synthesizers and drums and drum pads. And, we had, I think, 4 synthesizers going, 2 drum pads, a drum kit, and like vocal processors and like all the stuff. It took like 3 months to put together, and like 5 people. It was really, really, really awesome. But
it sounds like a lot of work though to do something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, a lot of work, a lot of coordination, and it just wasn't completely sustainable to coordinate 5 people's schedules. So it's definitely what I wanted to do for the release, and I think it's long-term the way that I would love for the project to go, but we kind of scaled back till right now. It's me and Ian working together.
Right, right, right. And now for this next one, I mean, you're releasing this single now. Is the entire EP done, or...?
No, the rest of it is in the works.
So you're still working on it. How are you doing that in the current climate of recording? I've had some conversations over the last little while. People are they're sending files back and forth. They're jonesing to get into the studio. Do you feel comfortable just recording at home and sending your part in, or would you rather be in a studio?
Yeah, I would rather be in a studio, but we, even for the other tracks that we did, we worked a lot back and forth just from our home studios. But when I kind of record final parts, we actually worked with a local Hamilton guy. He was working in Toronto for a long time, but he moved here a couple years ago, Ashton Price, and he has a studio called Morph Studios. And he's just like, he's a really, really fast engineer. Like he's really, really pro. And so everything that he like creates with us is just so good. And people always comment on like the quality of the stems that we get from him. But then also like we're able to go in and get vocals and strings and whatever live stuff that we want to track. We're able to get it done with his equipment in like 3 or 4 hours for a track, which is just awesome and very cost effective. So we kind of track everything. We kind of decide what we want to record and then go in with a game plan and just knock everything off one by one.
Well, it sounds like you have a great amount of respect and trust in Ashton to get this done.
Yeah, very much so.
Okay, so now once this single comes out and then you're going to work on the next one, the rest of the album to do a release. What are you guys going to do as far as market this next EP? Will there be something different that you didn't do with Echo In, or stick to the same game plan?
That's a really, really good question. Marketing is an area where I'm very much on a learning curve.
Right.
I feel like at the beginning I had no idea. So when I released Echo In, I didn't even have a Spotify account, which seems crazy and really silly, but I'm from like a classical world. And so this was just not part of my experience, but I really loved what I was creating and wanted to release it. So I feel like I'm very much going to be, doing more in terms of release strategies and stuff like that for the next album, but it's definitely a learning curve for me, and I need to put some time into figuring all of that stuff out. And So the next EP is still, I won't be releasing it before next summer. So I still have some time to figure that out. And I'm looking into some courses and stuff to just learn more about that side of the industry, because I think it's really important.
Right. So you are going full on, like you were going to, you're going to teach yourself and then just go at it. No, but you have no concept. I shouldn't say concept. Has it ever crossed your mind that, well, maybe you should hire someone to market? Because in the music industry, there's always a lot of people that, you know, radio pluggers and video pluggers, those sort of things. So having someone, you know, market the album for you, if there was a budget or something like that. Because now everyone's looking, you know, it's not something new, but I mean, a lot of people look for sponsorships for their albums. I mean, look at the live situation we're in right now. I mean, even before COVID, I would say attendance was down in certain areas of live performance. Now with this stupid COVID thing, how is someone like yourself going to be able to make money if you're not performing live, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. It was I can like remember the exact date that this whole COVID stuff just, it was like a Wednesday night, and literally overnight, I'm a violinist, right? So overnight, I had like something like 65 gigs lined up before the end of April, and everything just completely crashed to the ground. And I just remember the next day was just email of just cancellations. And it can be really discouraging. And I think I spent probably about a month just kind of grieving the loss of, of the life that I had kind of built. And but then you start to like regain your sea legs again, right? And creativity starts to bubble up, and you start to ask yourself the question, like, where's the opportunity in this? Like, what can I do right now that I couldn't have done before that will kind of put me in a position as things start to come back where I have new skills and I have new ways to make money and new ways to make a living in this. So I've spent quite a bit of time learning Ableton and just kind of getting to know that program a lot more, a lot deeper, you know, boosting my skills in piano and other things like that, just to kind of just round out my musical abilities and my marketable skills. But I think that this is going to be a real time of creative growth for people. I mean, you don't want to put too much pressure on this time too, because it's also a time of like, it's a time of just mourning what we've lost as well. And you don't want to rush any of these processes. But I could see this kind of creating a beautiful boom of creativity and like projects that never would have seen the light of day had COVID not happened. Hi, this is Brielle from Calcedon. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and you can listen to our new single, To the Light, on Spotify or Apple Music. And, of course, you can always visit calcedonmusic.com to sign up for our mailing list. Here's the cycle. Shatter. Hold on. I've forgotten.
your tongue. And letting go where you have clung too tightly, even though there were more songs to be sung. Maybe sparrow songs can last. I've learned this much from the past. That when a thing is built too fast, it's weak.
Boy.
The sun will shine tomorrow.
listening to C101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
So hard to satisfy your senses. You found out to love me. You have to climb some fences, scratching and crawling along the floor to touch you. Just when it feels right, you say you found someone to hold you. Does she like I do? Baby, tell me, does she love you like the way I love you? Does she stimulate you? Tell me, does she love you like the way I love you? Does she stimulate, attractive and captivate you? Tell me, does she miss you, existing just to kiss you, like I do? Tell me, does she love you, like the way I love you? Does she stimulate you, attract and captivate you? Does she miss you, existing just to kiss you, like I do? Can I survive all the implications?
like the way I love you? Does she stimulate you?
Alternative 101.5 The Hawk FM.
We'll be right back. she pleases. Cause she's happy on her own. And she picks up all the pieces. She's going home.
Baby, I'm home, I'm home, I'm home.
Yeah, she's going home.
Everybody must know by now, maybe it's a little late for some of you to know, that there is a some sort of strange national effort to bring censorship to first the rock and roll industry, then to the video industry, then the National Council of Churches wants to have ratings on normal television programming, and then it'll get to books, and then it'll get to any kind of sign you want to carry around the street, and then you'll all be wearing the same color clothes, and I don't think you're all going to learn how to speak Chinese, but I think that they all want you to sort of worship the same God.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
The Hawk is on the air at 101.5 FM.
You're listening to a Steel City Music Retro Hour.
Hey everyone, welcome to Steel City Music here on The Hawk. Your host, Gunnar, here. Yes, another pre-recorded show. Yes, we are still under lockdown. All of us in our homes. There is some light, though. The government has announced some openings, if you will, and we can kind of walk around just a little bit more and be social. And a person who's been locked up for 2 months, just like the rest of us, wants to get out and be a little bit social because he's also the guitarist for Blandlord. He's a musician from around town here in Hamilton, Ontario. And I think he's going a little bit goofy, just like the rest of us. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. Well, after that intro, I guess I feel a little bit better that I've...
I feel, yeah, that was very nice. I do want to be social. Please, someone hang out with me.
over the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've been airing these segments on the show and doing chats with people, mutual friends of ours, and that have graced the doors of this St. Hollywood. Are the venues that has closed after 11-year run. And I should also do a backgrounder on this. Lou Molinaro and I think it was like 2 or 3 days ago, I was trying to help my
friend Lou on how to do an interview via Facebook and record it and show him how to use stuff. And that was it had all the challenges of teaching your dad how to use the converter.
It certainly seemed like that when I received the call.
You were so nice and going, "Hey guys, what's going on?" And I'm trying to explain things to you. And of course, Lou didn't turn his camera on, so you didn't really see him. You know,
I had my camera on. I was cooking breakfast.
Yeah, you were cooking breakfast, and I ended up doing all the chatting there, trying to talk Lou through it, and doing an impromptu interview. And I'm like, "Well, I can't air this. I would rather do it on, you know, like." This way, you know, so I didn't want to air all that fun stuff that we talked about. But you said, yeah, you'd love to chat about some of your experiences at the venue and some of the bands you've seen and local stuff. So when was the first time that that you entered the club? Were you playing or were you just going to check out a show?
Oh, my God. The first time, it's hard to say exactly. I can't even remember the first time I played because I played so many gigs there over the last like decade.
Really? Wait, are you talking like Greg Briscoe amounts of times played?
What realm are we in for gigs? I don't know. I was trying to talk with John Daly, bass player in Blamlord, about how many times we've played it, how many people we've opened for, how many times I've played it as a solo project or John's played it with his other bands.
Sure.
And it's hard to pinpoint. I know the first time I was there, I believe it might have been for Daniel Johnston.
Really?
I think so. Or that, actually, no, that might have been the Underground. sorry.
Hey, I love the Underground. That was a great club.
Yeah, I definitely saw B.A. Johnson there a long time ago.
And that was,
before I even knew who he was or how, before I became a convert to the church of B.A. Johnson.
So you just go in and you go, let's just, like, were you with a bunch of friends or was it just like, hey, I'll just check
this out? This is my older brother and we went for some reason, I can't recall.
So we were